141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on Scottish Cup semi-final weekend. An incredible Sunday afternoon sees Celtic beat St Mirren after extra time. It will be Martin O'Neill against Neil Lennon in the Scottish Cup final after Dunfermline overcome rivals Falkirk in the first of the semis. And now that those are out the way, full steam ahead to the return of the Scottish Premiership and that title race. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight you have Andy Halliday and Roger.
Well, Gordon, I thought the Scottish Cup semi-finals were supposed to be the calm before the storm ahead with this thrilling three-way fight for the Premiership title. But we've ended up Championship outsiders Dunfermline beat top six Falkirk on penalties, a third top flight scalp of the season, a third clean sheet for the Pars in this cup run. We've then got Celtic hitting six, five of them past a 17-year-old third-choice goalkeeper called Grant Tamasavicius of St Mirren. It all sets up Martin O'Neill versus Neil Lennon in the Scottish Cup final on May the 23rd. All of that, and we've got pundits sitting in trucks in the Hampden car park after being banned for saying bad things about referees. Does that mean the next episode of the Willie Show will be in your passenger seat where you can hit back?
As you said, Roger, there's been plenty of twists and turns in this incredible campaign, and after Dunfermline knocked out Falkirk in the Scottish Cup semi-final, I just had a wee wonder to myself, could St Mirren do the job on a Sunday? And then we really would have had a lively show. And after Mikael Mandron equalised in the 91st minute, it looked as if it was going to happen. But a James Forrest inspired extra time by Celtic means they win the game 6-2, and we now know our Scottish Cup finalists.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need. So let's hear from you this Monday night. How do you look back on the weekend's action? Sunday at Hampden, how do you even begin to sum up just how mad that game was? Celtic fans, get in touch. Let us know how pleased you are to go through. Let us know how pleased you were with the first half extra time performance. What about the rest of it? How did it take to that stage to get it through? Give us all your thoughts. I'd love to work our way through it with you this evening because there was quite a lot to get through. St Mirren fans, how do you feel after that? Because clearly so much to be encouraged by. I'm sure you'll want to pay tribute to your young goalkeeper, perhaps. All your thoughts there on the goalkeeping situation. And then, how big is the disappointment at the way that it unravelled so quickly after a lot of good work done? So 0141 951 1025. Dunfermline fans, we don't get to spend many Monday nights hearing from you. Never mind with you gloating over your big rivals that you're in the Scottish Cup final. Now, producer John is a resident Falkirk fan and he's back after a week off work. So it would be brilliant if you would phone in Dunfermline fans and really ruin his Monday night.
Stephen Mill.
He'll phone in.
Get him phoning in.
He'll be phoning. 01419511025, same number there. And if you just can't wait, if you've been biding your time, Hearts fans, Rangers fans, anyone else, and you want to give the earliest look ahead to what now happens in the title race, we're here for you on the same number as well. Get in touch, put your points to Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna, and we'll speak to you hopefully between now and 8 o'clock. You are not off the hook. You have a reduced card to work your way through. I hope you've been studying up because I still need a result of the weekend, please.
Well, I'm going to go for Dunfermline. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't a classic. But when you've beat three teams in the top flight, the SPFL, you've beat Hibs, kept a clean sheet. You beat Aberdeen convincingly, kept a clean sheet. And then when you're playing against one of the stories of the season, John McGlynn's Falkirk, and for me, over the course of the 120 minutes, not only deserve to win it through the chances, but do it with a really young side while sitting third in the league. And then when it got to penalties, took some great penalties within it. So they're my result of the weekend.
I am going to go for East Kilbride. Big win at the weekend. They stay clear of Spartans at the top of League Two. If results go their way, they will be champions of League Two by Saturday night. And what a great achievement that would be in the first season.
So what has to happen on Saturday again?
I think they need to win in Spartans' dome. And Spartans are home to Elgin, so there's no guarantees there. East Kilbride go to Dumbarton.
I think you should go to Dumbarton for this show then and cover the game. That there seems fair.
There is a suggestion that might well be the case.
Brilliant.
And I'll just have to, was that not Dumbarton and Gordon Dale got locked in?
Yep, Jim Duffy had to come and open the door and let him out.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I'll try and avoid that.
You've got that to look forward to. What about your goal of the weekend?
I had a couple of options, to be fair, in that showpiece game on Sunday, but I'm going to go for Kelechi Iheanacho second. Good build-up play, love a little intricate playing around the box, but it's a type of finish you don't see very often. It gets played into him, looks as if it's pretty much closed off, can't get a shot at goal, and with very little backlift to no backlift, just manages to guide a shot with the inside of his foot into the near top corner. I thought it was a fantastic finish.
I'm going to have to go for his teammate, Anthony Ralston. First of the season, first in just over a year. It was a nice move. Started on the left, over to the right. I think he's shouting, hasn't he? He's told Yang, I'm behind you. Lovely back heel by Yang. And what a finish by the right back. And just an action-packed game.
Howler of the weekend, Roger Hannah.
It has to be Ryan Mullen of St Mirren. If you're going to have a bad afternoon, then try and squeeze it all into 13 minutes. Clumsy touch, dreadful clearance off Tyson Maida to give Celtic a goal inside a minute. And then he seems to injure the thigh muscle. I think he's kicked the ground at one stage, injured the thigh muscle, carted off. And as we said at the top of the show, 17-year-old Grant Tamasavisi is on for a first-team debut at Hampden against Celtic.
Donnarumma, your other howler, did the same thing, didn't he?
Yeah.
A couple of hours apart.
At least he stayed on.
And, well, at least Ryan Mullen has the excuse that it's Tyson Maida chasing you, the quickest guy in the world.
What was your howler?
I'm going for Linlithgow Rose. They were set to be my result of the weekend after what was a three-way title race going down to the last game of the season in the Lowland League. They managed to overcome a 1-0 deficit at half-time against third in the table, Bonnyrigg Rose, who still had a very outside chance of winning the league. They did turn it round. They won 2-1. They won the league. And then you hear the next day that, I think it was timing of audited reports, means that they didn't fit the criteria and they're not eligible to play in the pyramid playoff versus Brora.
We are neutrals, of course, Roger, but we've got a soft spot for the Bankies because they're just along the road and they're Hugh Keevan's favourite team. That's a sore one for them, isn't it?
Yeah, as in, I've thought a lot about this in the last 24 hours. I don't quite know how you square that circle, because Linlithgow Rose are the champions, they're the best team in the Lowland League. They've won it. I think they finished with 34 points out of the last 36 available. They charged from 8th to 1st. They beat the 10-man Bankies last week. Everything in the garden looked rosy for Rose, and they just didn't meet the admin, and it's very unfortunate. And Brora, now Highland League champions, who do have the licence, to do have the criteria, they'll take on Edinburgh City to see who is the last team in next season's SPFL.
Any calls on that? These two are clearly well versed. If you fancy it, it's a bit of a change for a Monday night, but let's do it. What about your top performer of the weekend? Who does it go to round us off?
I'm going for, I mentioned him at the top of the show, the inspired James Forrest substitution. I thought he was the catalyst for Celtic when he came into the game. And how many times have we seen that? How many times have we seen the impact of James Forrest coming onto a game, picking the ball up for that right-hand side and making the difference for Celtic? And I thought he brought so much energy to Celtic in the game in that extra time. And it seems almost crazy that 17 years of his Celtic career, we're still talking about him being the difference at times.
Unbelievable. A Motherwell teammate, and you've overlooked him. You haven't given him Man of the Weekend.
Leaving it to you.
Aston Oxborough. Different class, saved a penalty, clean sheet against top six Premiership opposition. And what about this for a scenario?
That he might stop Motherwell getting European football. I know that's what you're going to say.
If Dunfermline win the cup and he keeps a clean sheet, maybe saves another penalty in the shootout against Celtic, that will stop Motherwell from getting into
Europe. Well, not receive a well done message from me after that game then.
Have we got room for any more conspiracy theories between now and the end of the season?
Oh,
still squeeze the Aston Oxborough Motherwell European one is not what I expected.
There you go, you see. This season throws it all up for you, Gordon.
So in the 92nd minute, he lets one wriggle through his legs or gets charged down by Tyson Maida, and it just happens to go in and Motherwell take the European spot. Is that what you're telling us?
Or the other way about.
And he's the goalkeeper. Oh, of course, no, they need to win it to deny Motherwell.
Yep,
if you fancy a bit of Roger's madness, please phone another night. 01419511025 is the number. Let's start with John, who's in Edinburgh. Hi, John.
Good evening, Gordon, Andy, and Roger.
Hi, John.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Pleasure.
I'm just on to have I've been watching now my team Celtic for obviously all season. Got to tell you, I had open heart surgery about a year ago, and If I hadn't had it, I wouldn't have survived this season, some of the stuff we've had to watch. However, you know, the fact that I had that done is it probably enabled me to be able to phone you tonight. But I'm struggling. I'm really struggling. Martin O'Neill's been fantastic for Celtic over, even since he's came back here. But there's questions I'd like to ask, you know, yourselves. You know, why are we trying to play out from the back like Man City or Barcelona? The guys are not good enough to do that. Yesterday we had a situation where the St Mirren goalkeeper made a mistake right early on. We get a goal. If I'm a goalkeeper at the other end, I'm looking at that and saying, well, I ain't going to do any of that stuff, you know. But lo and behold, he had a fair wee shot at our goalie trying to do that on two or three occasions. You know, so I'm wondering why Martin O'Neill is asking us to do that, given that I recall back all his teams. I can't remember us trying to pass it around the 6-yard box and the 18-yard box and bringing tension and pressure on you for no good reason. You know. Anyway, that's part of it. But then we get up the park, and the other question I'd like to ask you guys is, why is Kinnecty getting a game at all? He gets the ball, he looks at whoever's defending, he gets frightened, he turns, he runs back the halfway line, he gives it to Tierney. St Mirren know he's going to do that. They squeeze up, he gives it back to the goalie. And I think 7 seconds ago we were outside the box, their box, and now we're trying to clear our lines to get, you know, into a safe position on the park. So why do you think is he playing Kinnecty when you've got somebody, like I heard earlier on there, you're talking about James Forrest. I'd written him down. I was going to bring that up myself. James Forrest never comes on and doesn't give an account of himself. You know? So I'm struggling with that. And I've got another idea for up the left wing. The guy that's meant to be the left back, the South American, is it...
Saracchi.
Saracchi.
Let's put some of that to the panel, John, because you've covered some interesting ground. And it feels, Andy and Roger, perfectly in keeping with what's been a mad season for Celtic, score 6 goals in a cup semi-final and get to the final, and yet John's main issue, if you like, is still elements of the performance.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair? Is that
I think it's completely fair. I thought for 45 minutes in the second half, I thought St Mirren were the better side. Not too dissimilar to what we said when St Mirren played against Celtic at Celtic Park last week. I disagree with John in terms of he said that he doesn't think the players are good enough to play out for the back. I think they are. I would argue, are they coached to play out for the back? Because I think that's a different argument. I agree with you in the sense that Martin O'Neill's never really been that type of the manager. When you go back to his heyday at Celtic in the mid-2000s when he played 3-5-2, they were never that type of team. But I see Ralston under Ange Postecoglou could play out for the back. I've seen Liam Scales and Trusty and these guys under Brendan Rodgers play out for the back. Kieran Tierney got a move for £25 million because he could play out for the back. But I do think Celtic are caught in between styles at the moment, and I think we've seen Celtic in its entirety of this season in the space of 120 minutes, good at times, explosive at times. When they get the ball forward and get the ball in dangerous areas, they can be ruthless at times. And then the second half, no tempo in possession, no tempo out of possession, look as if they lack legs, and like we says, then substitutes come on, which is an interesting one, because I've been guilty of saying it, I'm sure Roger has as well. We've said all season long about the lack of quality in Celtic squad, but it's another game that subs have made the difference, which seems as if it's been quite a lot over the recent weeks.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from, John, when it's passing out from the back. Blame Pep Guardiola, he started it years ago and they all want to jump in the bandwagon. I've nothing against it, but sometimes clubs, teams just seem to do it when they don't need to do it, when you need just to shell it and get it up the park. Andy won't like this. Andy's in this Total Football Motherwell team, the Steel Town Globetrotters, etc.
But see, to be fair, right, and not an excuse to just bring up Motherwell, have they not debunked everything you and John are saying? We say, oh, the players aren't good enough. People would have said Stephen O'Donnell's not good enough to do it. People might have said Paul McGinn or whatever. But is there actually a deeper problem with Celtic then? If you put players in the right positions and get other players to move into right positions and find spaces. Yeah,
there's nothing the matter with
good enough to
yeah,
do
of course they are. They're all professional footballers. They're all well
so where's
paid,
it going wrong then for Celtic?
I think some of the time they just choose the wrong option at the wrong time. Sinny Salo, and we're talking about outfield players here, have been comfortable doing it. It was the goalie that caused the problems yesterday. The goalie didn't look comfortable doing it. Some of the time the ball was coming back to him when he clearly didn't want it and couldn't deal with it. He was getting charged. It was a couple of times when he did actually shell it under pressure and it went right the way through to the other goalkeeper. St Mirren caused their problems right at the very start because Ryan Mullen took a clumsy touch when Freckleton played a normal ball back to him. Dyson might have closed him down. Who would have seen that coming? Dyson might have closing somebody down. So I've no problem doing it, the philosophy of it, but do it at the right time. And for goodness sake, when you've got Ryan Mullen, who has made three starts in the League Cup almost a year ago, and you're trying to bed him in, don't give him one of them after 55 seconds.
John, some people though will say in a cup semi-final, you've got one priority and one priority only, and that's to get through. And in the end, he did it with a bit to spare. Is none of that giving you any cause for joy?
It was great getting the goals yesterday. But, you know, I was listening to what Andy said there. These players are good enough, but they're not playing from a position of high confidence. So it was like we went 2-0 up and then we started to do some, you know, fancy stuff at the back and that, and you're saying, you know, and when a game's at 2-0, you know, we all know that the next goal is the key one, because if you go 3, it's over, and if the opposition score the goal, they're back in it, they're high, you're low. So I just don't understand why people take unnecessary risks, especially when you're playing from a position of low confidence, because we've not scored 6 goals all season. I don't think so. It was great scoring the goals, but you just wanted to win the game 2-0 or 3-0 and let the fans enjoy it instead of stressing them all out. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. No, they're all good players. But unless you're playing from a position of confidence, and yes, it's easy for Motherwell to do that, because their expectations for Motherwell aren't the same as for Celtic or Rangers, let's be honest.
Celtic have got much more money and should be able to go to Hampden and surely enjoy that surrounding, but we've seen them do it for a long time, no?
Motherwell?
No, Celtic.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Celtic have the resources, the players, the wage budget to attract better players and better coaches apparently to do it and coach them for it. But listen, you mentioned something within that I do agree with, John. It's turning it down, which the reason teams build out for the back is because they think it's the best way to get for the defensive third of the pitch to the final third in the pitch without losing the ball, compared to the percentage player playing it long. But the thing about building out for the back is you don't turn down opportunities to play forward when it's on. I'll agree with you in that respect. I thought there was occasions yesterday where Celtic turned down the forward option. The chance, I don't know if it was the chance that Roger was alluding to, where Sinny Salo clears the ball off of Killian Phillips and he has to retract back to his line to save it. Yes, it came off of Phillips' arm. That came from Austin Trusty, I think it is, turning down a forward pass and then turning, playing it to his goalkeeper. That isn't an issue for me with building out for the back. That is a player taking the wrong option that you said, but also as a coaching staff, coaching players to be in the right position in these scenarios, which I don't think Celtic are at times.
Same sort of question to you. Is there room to just enjoy a cup semi-final progression and appreciate it as what it is, or is it because
it's a game? I think it was a very long game. First half I thought Celtic were good. They scored 2 goals, they've hit the woodwork twice, they were fine without being spectacular. But then second half, just right from the very first throwings of the second half, they looked as if they just didn't know what they wanted to do, whether they wanted to stick or twist. St Mirren went a wee bit more direct in the second half and it unsettled Celtic. And back to 2-2, Celtic really needed that break at the end of the 90 minutes for Martinelli just to get back among them and settle them down. And once they settled down, they played well, you know, 4 goals in 6 minutes. You'd never seen the league. And it just showed what they can do. But you mentioned Tenekte, John. What an enigma that boy is. Off the bench a few times this season, he's looked fantastic. But I genuinely think now Celtic might need to start games with James Forrest after the split and just have Forrest on one side and Yang on the other, because Tenekte on yesterday's showing will not help you win the league.
Yeah, well, listen, I completely agree. But you've mentioned that a couple of times recently about Ian Acho's inability, shall we say, fitness-wise, to start games, and you feel as if he's been utilising his best position by being an impact player. with the actual length of time end up playing yesterday, it must have been what, 60 minutes. I feel as if he's Celtic's best option, and I think Celtic over the years, I think, have won games within 60 minutes most weeks when they've went 1-2 up within the opening 15-20 minutes. The issue is with the wider areas is, again, like you said, Tenecchi. I just feel as if this has been a carbon copy of what we said of Tenecchi. Anytime he's been given the opportunity to start, he's not shown it. Daiza Maeda, when he played up front yesterday, I think a lot of the good stuff he does is actually a lot out of possession stuff, triggering the press for Celtic, but still a lack of quality in certain areas. But I think there's no doubt whatsoever for me that Iheanacho's the best option. But, it's like he says, whether he can stay fit.
But oddly, I spoke to Martin Hill for Super Scoreboard after the game. You've got the audio here. When I asked him about Iheanacho and a readiness to play, he said, well, Kelechi tells me he's fully fit. I'm not so sure.
Let's hear it. Why not? Good timing.
He says he is completely fit, you know, and I'm not completely sure, but he was brilliant for us today. Brilliant. He took the goals magnificently. He can hold it. You can see why he's had a career.
What do you make of that? Give us a call right now. Let's keep reflecting on yesterday and beyond, St Mirren fans. Not an easy one for you to digest, I'm sure. Quite a roller coaster. Why not pick up the phone? And Celtic fans, John's main takeaway seems to be elements of that performance that have annoyed him. How do you feel? Pick up the phone. We'll speak to you next.
One for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. Give us a call. What are all your reflections on the weekend's semi-finals? Celtic fans, St Mirren fans, Dunfermline, Falkirk. Let's hear from all of you. And then to the rest of you, I suppose you're already looking forward to the league returning this weekend, albeit a few days away yet. Let's dive back in with Michael, who's on the line. Hi, Michael.
How you doing, Gordon? How you doing, mate? How you doing, buddy?
Hi, Michael.
How you doing, Roger and Andy? Obviously, I'm sitting with the producer there. The game yesterday, I've never seen a mental 6 minutes like that before in my life. 4 goals in 6 minutes, madness. It's mental. It was mental yesterday.
You, previous caller, Michael, felt like his main takeaway was kind of just how annoyed he was at bits of the performance. You feel that way, or are you more just happy to be through to the final?
I'm happy to be through to the final and the performance as well. We're 2-0 up and coasting, and then let's run back into the game. Yeah, it wasn't good enough in the second half.
So something in that as well, where, you know, kind of all the different ways of looking at Celtic this season, once they go 2-0 up, you know, in any game, but in a cup semi-final, you just never think they're chucking that away, do you?
No, but do you know what I was going to say there?
I mean, they didn't in the end, but you know my point.
When Michael was talking about it, I feel as if I think the Celtic fans would have been on this phone in tonight being a lot more angry if Mandon didn't score that equaliser, if that made sense. See, if it just finished 2-1 with the way they performed in the second half, I think they would have been a lot more downbeat than actually getting the extra 30 minutes and scoring the 4 goals.
You don't think there's something worse about being taken to extra time?
I know,
time,
but do you know where I'm coming from? I think, because, listen, as I said, I thought Celtic were really good in the first half. I thought they were really poor in the second half. And, I mean, you shouldn't be surprised, because I don't think Celtic have been in great form for a number of weeks now, but I just thought the element of control that St Mirren had, Roger mentioned that, a 17-year-old goalkeeper in goals that I thought was really, really untested the full second half. And I actually thought a big thing when I was watching Celtic in the second half was I thought they lacked energy, I thought they lacked legs. But then the extra time kind of debunks that, because they played with loads of tempo, loads of intensity. But like you said, similar to Michael, that 10-minute spell was wild, because it was 4 goals in rapid succession. You actually felt they were going to get more at that point.
Just perfectly in keeping with a completely bonkers season, Roger. We've all done it. We've listed off the managers who've come and gone and how long they lasted and all the quirks that we've had. The way that played out yesterday cannot have been foreseen by anybody.
No, and I don't really remember ever seeing 4 goals scored as quickly, certainly not in an extra time period, if you know what I mean. When they clicked really well. St Mirren, they'd overcommitted a wee bit. They made too many attacking changes to get back into the game. They got back into the game at 2-2, and then they were left with all these forward players on at extra time, and Celtic just picked holes in them. But they did it very effectively and efficiently early in that extra time period. It did prove the worth of Iheanacho. It did prove the worth of Forrest. Martin Hill will be thrilled to get through to the Scottish Cup final, but It'll also have a few interesting selection dilemmas now ahead of Falkirk on Saturday evening at Celtic Park, because, you know, Andy said, and he's quite right, Iheanacho looks the most threatening of the strikers. What do you do with him? Do you keep him in reserve in case you need him after an hour, or do you try and put him on from the start, see how long he lasts, knowing that he's got the quality to potentially get the goals? Forrest, a fascinating one as well. I think they'll welcome Liam Scales back into that central defensive unit. But again, Callum McGregor didn't finish the 90. Kieran Tierney didn't finish the 90. This is going to be a physically demanding run-in. Five games in quite quick succession, Gordon. So are these guys ready to play all five games, or does Martin Hill need to be careful with them?
Were they the ones that impressed you the most, Michael, Forrest, Iheanacho?
Yeah, so senior producer, Iheanacho, Forrest and Maida looked back to his best yesterday. He looked brilliant. He was chasing shadows, lost causes all game, and it was brilliant to see him back to his best. He looked brilliant yesterday. But I don't understand what's going on with Iheanacho, because, as Roger said, he's probably the best finisher at the club, and it's time to Nick Keegan's out of the team and puts Forrest in, because Forrest is much better than to Nick Keegan.
And without going over old ground though, Andy, that isn't an easy position to be in. There's a reason Celtic paid the money for Tonetke over James Forrest. James Forrest has not been an automatic pick at Celtic for
probably 2-3 seasons.
Yeah, that would be about accurate, I would imagine. And by the way, clearly still so talented, so experienced. You saw what he offered yesterday, so this is not such a slight on him, the way I'm putting it to you. More that, how are Celtic still in this situation then? And if Iheanacho is the best option, but you've got the manager saying he says he's fit, I'm not sure he is, we're having a debate about whether he starts games, you know, but we're kind of back to still then, you know, really try to constantly week on week find different ways of sort of patching up previous mistakes.
Poor recruitment's obviously a part of that, because we could also mention the £5 million that was paid for Balakwisha. So we talked about James Forrest being an impact player for 2-3 seasons.
And by the way, quickly, that's before you get to the ones that the money was paid on that aren't even in this discussion.
If these players that were brought in for these fees were as good as they should have been, then James Forrest might not even be an impact player. Obviously, Jota being injured has played its part as well. But I think Yang has been, I don't know if Michael agrees, I think Yang's been a more surprising one this year. I still remember being in the show on the Monday when he was driving down to, what was it, Birmingham to leave the football club. I actually think he's been one of the kind of brighter sparks for Celtic in an attacking sense this year. But you can genuinely pick holes in that front three and change your mind who should be the starting front three throughout the course of the season, because there's been a real lack of consistency. I think that one mainstay you probably feel is Daisa Maeda. And again, it's not been through scintillating form compared to last year. You can never take away his enthusiasm, his intensity, his willingness to run for the football club, and whether that's on the left or the striker position, I feel like he always does a job.
See, on Iheanacho's fitness, Roger, the clip we played before the break, and you were speaking to Martin and Neil about it, and obviously did it in his sort of usual funny style, but what Michael says, he's no idea what's going on. It's over a month now. Is it five games for Celtic? He's been back. He's been,
and he's been in
the squad for five games over a month. Yeah. How is that not fit?
To look at him, he looks fine. You know, if he was just playing there and he did no history, you know, we didn't know his injury history and we hadn't, you know, Martin Hill's comments or what have you, to actually look at him on the pitch, it doesn't look as if there's anything the matter with him. It looks as if he could play all day. He you know, to the naked eye, he looks a reliable centre forward. But clearly we do know the injury history. Clearly we do know what Martin Hill said about him. Clearly there is some concern there. He's only 29. I mean, he's not 36 or 37. He should be at the peak of his powers just now. But it's an odd one, because for me, he should be the first pick.
I appreciate everybody's different and everybody's got a different medical history. But to sort of recap that, the game against your Motherwell team was the 14th of March. He was on the bench that day. So he's in, you know, he's fit enough to be in the squad. Then the Dundee United game that he started, then the Dundee game that he came off the bench, and then that takes us into the double header against St Mirren. So from the 14th of March, fit enough to be involved in a match day. So if he isn't fully fit now, when, how long would that take?
Yeah, I don't know if Martin O'Neill just means the more characteristics of him as a player. Maybe feels if he doesn't run as much as Chivanchara or Maeda, then actually in terms of been completely match fit, because he must be match fit. Like he says, he's been in the match day squad for a number of weeks. He's been coming off the bench. He came off the bench at Dens, made the difference. He came on off the bench at the weekend, made the difference. So I think in that respect, he's certainly fit. I just don't know if it's more, he sees him doing a lot more as a striker off the ball than compared to a Chivanchara and a Maeda.
Well, Chivanchara is a case in point here, because didn't make the 20-man squad yesterday. He now looks to be fourth choice centre forward. If you're saying Maeda is the first pick, Iheanacho was thrown on as second pick. Junior Adama was back in the bench ahead of Chivanchara as third pick.
Did not Chivanchara not start last? Was it last week?
Yeah, last week.
He was first choice to fourth in a week.
Well, listen, don't ask me. Ask Martin O'Neill.
Was he asked if he was fit?
Yeah.
Well, if he did then. What about the no Rio Hatate? Are you surprised at that?
I don't know. Well, we're talking in the order here. Martin O'Neill started with a midfield of McGregor, Negrin and Arnie Ingles, and then sent on Luke McCowan, and then sent on Alec Oxlade-Chamberlain. So Rio Hatate, having scored against St Mirren in a League Cup final in December, is now the sixth choice central midfielder. When you look at going into extra time, he allowed six substitutes, and Martin O'Neill made six substitutes, and Rio Hatate wasn't one of the ones who was used.
Mm. Let's get Martin O'Neill's verdict overall. He was pleased with the side showing in extra time.
Got off to a great start. Dyson closing down and scoring the goal. And I was hoping then that we would take the initiative. I thought we had a lot of possession. I mentioned to you the other day, sometimes maybe we should try and look forward a wee bit more quickly. But overall, we were in good control of the game. Then their first corner, Sinisala has to make a really great save, and I thought that gave St Mirren a big boost. And because the game wasn't out of sight, anyway, having said this, we scored just on the half time whistle, and I just never felt that I just never felt really comfortable, even at 2-0. St Mirren come back into the game 2-1. Hopefully trying to see it through, they get the equaliser. Where I was really pleased about is that naturally extra time, when the players, you know, naturally really disappointed, having to raise themselves again for the extra time.
Keep the calls coming then, St Mirren fans. I'd love to hear from you, because there must have been a lot to like about it. Then you lose by four goals. You've got the drama with the goalkeepers as well, so we'd love to get your take on it. Let me tell you about this first. Clyde One. Paul was our latest winner. He grabbed £770,000 on Friday's Make Me A Winner. If you'd like to be the next winner, taking away our biggest ever cash prize, get in the draw now, because you have guessed it, it's gone up again, £780,000. To enter, text YES to 61025, text R250 plus your standard network rate, or call 03434 269 340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. Over 18s only, lines close 5pm Friday. Good luck from us, text YES to 61025.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
I think you St Mirren fans have gone into hiding a bit. I was expecting a bit more to come through and give us your take on the roller coaster that it must have been yesterday.
They're actually phoning in, but they're getting met by producer John, and they're just bursting into tears simultaneously.
Together, just like a helpline. Maybe that is the case. What did you make of the goalkeeping situation and everything else yesterday, St Mirren fans? Paul is going to give us the Celtic perspective. Hi, Paul.
Hello.
Hi, Paul. On you go.
Hi. What are you thinking? I'm talking about the St Mirren goalies?
No. I'm saying you're giving us the Celtic. Well, talk about them if you want, but I said you're giving us the Celtic perspective.
Yeah. So I have to give you a DL anecdote again before we start.
Oh, if you must.
A couple of weeks ago, you said who was the most. You asked him who the most famous ex-DL alumni.
The school he went to. Yep.
Yeah. It was Neil Reid, who won Opportunity Knocks. And used to play in games down the Duchess Park with Mr. DL myself.
There you go. I take your word for it. I'll sleep well tonight, Paul, now that you've answered that question asked 6 weeks ago. What are you thinking about the game at the weekend?
So I was on earlier in the season talking about how leadership would be a key going into the crunch time, etc., etc. And Celtic had Callum McGregor and Kieran Tierney, and I think you mentioned Casper Schmeichel at that juncture. So how wrong was I? Celtic looked a different team when both of them went off yesterday, and it's time to talk about the elephants in the room. Callum McGregor is just, it would appear that he's deciding when he plays and for how long he plays, and I think Martin O'Neill's got to show some backbone and take him out of the team.
Time to drop Callum McGregor, says Paul. You too.
It's funny you say that, Paul. I was actually talking to a Celtic supporting mate earlier on who made the exact same point. I wonder how fit Callum is. He came off early the previous game. He came off early yesterday. In the past, that would never have happened. Kieran Tierney, you've seen from the start of the season, you know, he hadn't had a lot of football before he came back to Celtic. And I think the club, naturally, are careful with him. And you can be careful with him because you've got Sarachi on the bench to come on with. It did well when he came on yesterday. I made the point earlier on the show, these five post-split games, they come in quite quick succession, particularly the last three crammed into that last week of the season. And at the minute, I'm not convinced that Callum McGregor or Kieran Tierney, or to listen to the manager, Kelechi Iheanacho, are ready to play three times 90 minutes in the space of a week. So Martin O'Neill will really have to manage his resources acutely after the split. And I mean, people always say the word dropped. I'm not sure you drop your club captain, but if your club captain's not 100% fit and there are better alternatives, then I think it is a conversation that can be had, Paul. I agree with you.
James Tavernier's been dropped.
Yeah, he has, but I think...
So you can drop your club captain.
Yeah, but I know the point you're making. I think it's different situations. Tavernier, if you get Rangers fans phoning here, and Rangers fans pick their best Rangers 11 this season, I don't think James Tavernier's in it. He's older than Callum McGregor. His star is on the wane.
Is that not Paul's point? Paul's saying if he picked his Celtic team at the moment, Callum McGregor wouldn't be in it.
Yeah, but the Tavernier thing stretched back for a period of time. The McGregor debate is a very, very new debate. I just can't go away for the fact I think it's linked to Callum's fitness. I think a fully fit Callum McGregor, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I do, and I've said it in the show before in the last couple of weeks, I do have reservations about how fit he is at the minute.
I think we're so used to seeing Callum McGregor being the benchmark for SPFL midfielders. I think he's been the best midfielder in the country for such a long period of time. Me personally, I don't think he's been that for a couple of years. I know you're saying it's a new thing. I don't think he's been that last season or this season. I think his levels, which again, this, it's not necessarily a criticism, it's just the age he's at, the amount of games he's played, I just don't think he's at the level that he was before. Now, the reason I still don't think, Paul, personally, you can drop him is I don't think Celtic have a replacement for him. I don't think they have a naturally gifted holding midfield player that can come in and dictate the game. And what I will say is, in terms of the game yesterday, I thought Celtic were really poor in the second half of the get-go. So Callum McGregor was involved in that for 15 minutes, but I thought they lacked leadership when he went off, in terms of someone getting their foot on the ball for Celtic, someone to start to, you know, sort of play the game in Celtic's tempo, try and garner a wee bit of control. I thought they lacked that. But what I will say as well, just to add to that, is I don't think Callum McGregor has a lot of help with the other two midfielders off the ball, because I watched Negrin off the ball. I don't think he offers much. I think Arne Engels isn't a fantastic midfielder off the ball, and I could even fling in Oxlade Chamberlain when he came on again. Thought he struggled to get up to speed. So I actually mentioned earlier on when I was talking to a Celtic friend as well, I actually think Callum McGregor needs somebody next to him now, whereas I think he's been fine being that lone holding midfield player. But I don't know if he can play that one on his own just now, with a lack of athleticism that Celtic have for their midfielders.
How does this work bigger picture, Paul? And I'm thinking title race here, because almost every Celtic fan who calls us to say that they think they will win the league bases it on this notion that they've got leaders in the team, they've got players in the team that have done it before. But are you going against that? You think
you take them out? Yeah, I was getting called out in my own WhatsApp group yesterday because I'd made the statement earlier in the season, but I'm now going against that. I mean, the amount of times, Andy, that Callum McGregor plays the ball back and directs other players to play the ball back, it's like a default position now that the ball goes back in, normally to Liam Scales, whose distribution's not great. It's unbelievable. And in Kieran Tierney, there's clearly an issue. I mean, you know, he's a, you know, and I don't take any pleasure in seeing this, but there was an instance yesterday where he could have cut the ball back like a 45-degree angle in the box to Tenetke. It was the obvious. And it was almost as if physically he wasn't able to motion that. You know, he's obviously got mobility issues, and he's certainly not the marauding, you know, fullback that he was going up and down the touchline. But it's more about Callum McGregor's negativity on the pitch. And when he does go forward, he actually creates chances, because he's got quick feet and he can pick a pass and he's got a shot in him. I think Engels could maybe play that role, and I know it's a lot to put on him, but he's got the price tag, he's got the technique, and he's got the athleticism. Another thing is he continually, although Andy's view is on the position that McGregor takes up, just taking the ball from the back to the back to centre backs, almost like Neil Lennon used to do back in Martin O'Neill's first time round. It's like going back 20 years. It's like a non pass, because the pass he makes could be made by the centre backs.
Yeah, actually, Paul, I mentioned it, I don't know if it was 2 Mondays ago when Rangers played at home to somebody, and actually I was talking about it with Nico Raskin, that I don't particularly like when centre midfielders drop in between centre halves, because I feel like Roger Milne like this. I think with modern day goalkeepers being as a lot more comfortable on their feet, that they're your extra centre half, they're your middle centre half, and especially for Nico Raskin, with a Rangers point of view, with Rangers playing a midfield two, as soon as they distribute Raskin for a middle centre half, if they lose the ball, then Chukwuanyi is the sole midfielder. The amount of numbers he's outnumbered by to pick up second balls is crazy. Now, I think for Callum McGregor's point of view, when he drops in as a middle centre half, I think he's somebody that is capable of playing a forward pass, and with Celtic having two other midfielders in there, they can still break lines, they can then play forward. But I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever for me that Callum McGregor isn't the player that it was 2-3 years ago, that when he stepped out for his centre half, sometimes you would see Callum McGregor drive with him.
Can Engels play the other way Paul suggests?
Well, I can only go off, I can remember seeing him do it once, and it was actually being in here for a Super Scoreboard in an Old Firm game on a Saturday, and he played that lone midfield role, and he looked really, really uncomfortable, I thought. We're talking about in the build-up, if you're a lone midfielder, you have to be able to tackle people, you have to be able to get close to people and make contact with the opposition and break up the play. I don't think Arne Engels has ever been that type of midfielder.
What do you think it leaves the theory, Roger? Because that's the wide-held one. I'm not trying to speak on behalf of all Celtic fans, but the ones who tell us that they think Celtic will still win the league always reference those in the dressing room who've won it before, and they feel like that's that can be the difference maker.
So we're
taking two of them out, then
three of them out with Schmeichel, but out of the team as well.
So does that mean
Johnson and Carter Vickers and Jota?
So does that mean that theory's actually flimsy to begin with, or is it then the wrong decision to take them out?
Well, through circumstance, Celtic didn't have McGregor or Tierney at Ibrox and came away with a positive result from Ibrox, so it can be done without them. I think it would be a bold, brave decision by Martin O'Neill, if they're fit, to take them out of the team. As I've said a couple of times, my concern about McGregor and Tierney at the minute isn't their quality, isn't what they bring in the dressing room. It's whether or not they're physically robust enough to get through these 5 post-split games. And as Andy said, I'm not sure about Engels. If McGregor's not there, I'm not sure who the new Callum McGregor is.
Thank you very much to Paul. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. It's a new week, a fresh page, a clean slate. Call it what you will, it's your chance to take on Roger Hannah or Andy Halliday. They both start on -1. Can you take advantage of it? Give us a call. The lines close at 7.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah's here alongside his usual Monday partner, Andy Halliday, and they're waiting for you to get in touch. So was it Celtic against St Mirren? Was it the Dunfermline-Falkirk game the day before? The drama in extra time, the penalty shootout on Saturday, the goalkeeping debacle for St Mirren? You decide which topic tickles your fancy and give us a call. If you would rather move on to something different, we are here for that as well. But as always, we find time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Andy Halliday, myself, Scott Allen, Hugh Keevans with the wee event at Drygate on Saturday night. Played some Beat the Pundit style quizzing with the listeners, and I have to say, the boys all came out unscathed.
-2 I was.
They were good.
-2.
Yeah, they were good. Usually there's some smart aleck in the audience that can take them down, but nah, they came out with their dignity
intact.
I was at
Scott Allen yesterday and never even boasted about that.
Yeah, well, listen, he's a humble man. Let's play with Stuart, who's in Bayliston. Hi, Stuart.
How you doing, Gordon?
Stuart, now most of the time at this point, I'm very repetitive. I say, is this the first time you've played? And most people say yes, but I believe you have been on before. Tell me the story.
I have been on before. Andy Halliday beat me 7-3. So, no good.
And have you studied since then? You think you're capable of making up a 4-point deficit?
I'm hoping so.
Good, listen, I like it.
I must have been good that way. I don't get many sevens.
I've got this idea that Stuart, for like 3 years, has been just got a picture of you up on his dartboard, you know, sit ups every night, just listening to podcasts, reading the newspapers, just trying to get everything he can to get
it's his, gotta be Roger tonight, though.
Get his revenge. Have you not played in a while?
No, I haven't actually. Not. And he always says that, but actually, I haven't.
Andy Halliday.
Say that again, sorry, Stuart.
Even a 1-point deficit. I just want to beat him once.
Right, we'll see what we can. Roger, you've not played since Monday, the 16th of March.
Is that right?
There you go, over a month. Okay, let's toss the coin. Blue for Andy Halliday and red for Roger Hannah. Why are you staring so intently
at
me? Excuse me?
Oh, sorry.
It's
me again.
It is. What is
happening? You cannot argue with his technique. That was very high.
Very high.
It was a great toss.
Dislocated my shoulder trying to catch it. Right,
you
sure.
Well, you might be in Gophers and Milner at the weekend.
You might get the chance. You'll get the chance for revenge. Can you take it? Let's give Andy Halliday something else to listen to. You have 30 seconds on the clock, Stuart. All you have to do is answer as many questions as you can. Pass if you do not know the answer. Okay? Right, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Which Celtic manager beat Dunfermline in the 07 Scottish Cup final?
Neil Lennon.
Who was the first English club Neil Lennon played for?
Leicester.
How many penalties did Falkirk miss in Saturday's shootout?
2.
Who's the captain of St Mirren?
O'Hara.
Christian Daly won the Scottish Cup with Rangers and which other club?
Dundee United.
Steve Clark achieved his highest English league finish as manager of which club?
Kilmarnock.
Okay. Andy Halliday, can you hear us?
Yep.
Good, same set of questions. Are you ready? Start on minus.
You got a smile on your face.
I'll get back to that. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Which Celtic manager beat Dunfermline in the 07 Scottish Cup final?
O'Neill.
What was the first English club Neil Lennon played for?
Leicester.
How many penalties did Falkirk miss on Saturday?
2.
Who's the captain of St Mirren?
O'Hara.
Christian Daly won the Scottish Cup with Rangers and which other club?
Hearts.
Steve Clark achieved his highest English league finish as manager of which club?
West Brom.
Harry Styles performed at which Scottish football stadium in 2022?
Pittodrie.
Which celebrity fan presented Celtic with the 2006
questions, mate?
Why if we take a showbiz turn to the end of Beat the Pundit? Which celebrity fan presented Celtic with the 2006 SPL trophy?
2006 celebrity fan? Roger Stewart.
Why did it go
what
all
is that?
That went bonkers.
What happened there?
That takes me back to my Ollie Murs question that denied me a 10.
I think I've lost her.
That became very Saturday night entertainment all of a sudden. Right.
I can't remember the question there. I went my den, man.
Okay, let's go through them and find out the damage. Which Celtic manager beat Dunfermline in the 07 Cup final? Andy Halliday, I'm disappointed in you.
Is it Strachan?
It's Gordon Strachan.
Why was that notable?
I think it as soon as I said that.
Because it was Neil Lennon's last game and he subbed him. Yeah? So there
I
we
said,
go.
As soon as I said that, I thought it was Strachan.
The first English club Neil Lennon played for. Sneaky. These are tough tonight.
They are tough. Crew Alexandra.
Man City won appearance first.
Oh, did he play? I didn't get that. I didn't know he played in the first team.
Apparently.
Yeah, it was me being all clever, Andy.
Then Crew, then Leicester.
It's still 0-0.
Oh my word.
0-1.
How many penalties did Falkirk miss? It was two. You both got it. Andy stays one behind. Who's the captain of St Mirren? Mark O'Hara. Both got it. Andy stays one behind. Christian Daly won the Scottish Cup with Rangers. And which other Scottish club? Dundee United.
Dundee United, aye.
Stuart got it. He's out of sight. I think Steve Clarke achieved his highest English league finish as manager of West Brom. Andy pulls one back.
Oh, that certainly didn't get the next two right.
Harry Styles played at Ibrox. And Billy Connolly presented the trophy. A defeat for Andy. You've been undone by Harry Styles and Billy Connolly.
Well done, mate.
Well done, Stuart.
Well done, Stuart.
Well done, Andy.
Absolutely.
Well done, Stuart.
You've ruined his night.
It's one each, Andy. It's one each.
We need a trilogy.
We definitely do. Need
that decided. Stuart, I truly mean this, right? Congratulations, you're the better man. Now, who wrote the equations? That is shambolic.
Can I just say, Clyde Super Scoreboard is in danger of teetering in the abyss.
Simply
because Falkirk lost the Scottish Cup semi-final. Producer John has gone doolally, for want of a better word. He's sending me to Dumbarton East Kilbride, and he's asking you questions about Harry Styles and Billy Connolly.
Right, sometimes there's a wee sneaky one at the end to try and stop you getting the, not to stop you getting the 10, but to make it interesting. What I don't know is why there are two, and then I'll take part of the responsibility because I skipped a couple of questions. I just quite like to look at some of the ones at the end, but I hadn't looked down the sheet that far. I didn't realise we went Harry Styles.
I don't think anybody in the world's getting that Neil Lennon one either. Do you?
I knew he'd been at Man City as a kid when he came over from Northern Ireland. I don't remember.
Did they not even come over as a trialist at Motherwell?
Yeah, he did. He did, and then Man City signed them.
So there you go. Anyway, a rare defeat for Andy Halliday.
Amazing.
Stuart, what's your you're a Rangers fan, Stuart?
I am. So I love Andy Halliday.
Well, somebody's got to.
I love him as a player. So I just, because he beat me, he beat the pundit, I took it a wee bit personal. So I wanted to get mine back, girl. And
what are you thinking about your team's chances of winning this league?
I think it's got a great chance, to be honest with you. I think Danny Rule taking the team for eighth in the league to get another point behind Hearts, and he's done a remarkable job. And I think obviously set the standards high and just go for it, really, for here.
Here's a question I never thought would ask you to. Are you fans of the Opta supercomputer? There's a sentence I never thought I would utter.
Do you know what? I'm part of the kind of the new
You're
generation
a modern man.
That there's a place for it for
so
me.
I was with my Sky Sports hat on earlier doing some work, and Opta provided a stat. The supercomputer provided the stat that Rangers have a 47% chance of winning the Scottish Premiership.
What were the other two?
The other two were Hearts have a 33% chance and Celtic have an 18%. So I'll be specific. Hearts 33.9.
Yeah.
Rangers 47.2. Uh-huh. Celtic 18.9. This is according to the Opta supercomputer. This is the ultimate do not blame the messenger. And you don't have to buy that stuff. You don't have to like it.
18.9% more than Hugh Keevans gives Celtic.
Exactly. Andy, you just said before it, because I didn't tell you what it was in relation to. You said you were a fan, if that's the right word. You feel like that's quite telling. Did you expect it to be as high as that in Rangers' favour?
Slightly higher than I thought. I didn't think Celtic would be that low. But I think it's still quite a close disparity between the three of them. And I think that's a fair reflection, because like I says, I've been on the Hearts team for a long period of time. I've kind of feel myself veering off that team, I'm not going to lie. I do make Rangers slight favourites at this moment in time, and I'm now at that occasion where every Monday I could change, because if the results go I think they could potentially go
this is Scottish football though. Roger,
who programmed the supercomputer?
Took the words out my mouth. This is Super Scoreboard.
Well,
this is Scottish football. It's going to be but where was that computer programmed? You know. And I guess we are up against that, but that is the reality. Roger Hanna, even surely Opta are above our madness, no?
Yes, you would.
You would like to think so.
The good people of Opta are surely above our madness. I still think it's 33.3 times 3.
But it's not though, is it? It isn't. You're at it.
It isn't.
No. You think they've all got exactly the same chance of winning?
I think they've got, yeah.
No, I'm sorry. You're just trying to be the counter Hugh Keevans here.
No.
Because I think he's been extreme when he says Celtic have got zero. You think they've all got exactly the same chance?
Let's go back to Opta and his supercomputer next Monday, because Celtic play first.
Right.
And that'll close the gap. So the chances will be changed by 7:20.
And the computer might change. But as it stands, how could, just on a pure...
arithmetical.
Yes, on a pure arithmetical basis, how could Celtic have the same probability of winning the league as Hearts right now?
Because they're currently 3 points behind, is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. So if they match each other's results, they go to the last day of the season at Celtic Park. And if they're 3 points behind, Hearts by that stage will have played 19 at home and 18 away. Celtic will have done the flip side. So when they play their 19th home and the 19th away, they should arithmetically match each other out.
But if Celtic, if they match each other's results from now until then, Celtic could still win that game and not win the league.
Depends what the goal difference is. Do you plug in goal difference to the supercomputer?
Of course you do. So that's the point. So then you've got even more hurdles to overcome.
There you go.
Do you
think producer John will have recovered by the time Rangers go to Falkirk in the last
don't 10? Try and make it about him and wriggle your way out of this, because Andy Halliday, we can't let him away with this. Purely because I think he was right up to a point. He wouldn't tell us who he thought would win the league, which is fine. Because
I still don't know.
Exactly, and neither did I. I need to be honest. It's close and it's confusing. I just am not having that you think they've all got the exact same chance as each other. That is the biggest cop-out ever.
Yeah. I've been working at percentage levels, and my percentage levels are closer, but they're certainly not all 33%.
But anyway, apparently so. 47.2, 18.9 for Celtic, 33.9 for Hearts. Please, I was going to say please. The messenger is going to get shot here, isn't he?
Can we phone the supercomputer? Can we get it on the show?
Get on
to explain its thinking.
Well, the algorithm
no, I want before that. I want producer John in here to talk about the questions. I'm still raging. That's not right.
I'll take part blame for that, because I skipped over a couple and I didn't realise what. But I didn't realise what was to come.
What do you mean you skipped over a couple?
There's just a couple that I thought. I just don't know.
Did you?
On. So you've skipped over ones that you knew I'd get the answer for?
No, I actually don't know. Oh, do you want to know what they were, just out of curiosity? Because Stuart might have got them anyway. Who's Hibs number 11?
Oh, I'm toiling.
Exactly. There you go.
McGrath.
Ha! See? It was Joe Newell. I just thought.
I done me a turn with that one.
No, no offence to Joe Newell. I just thought. Do we care who the number 11? I don't know. That sounds harsh. What nationality is Partick Thistle's Alex Samuel? See? They were tough anyway.
Come on.
I'll go Australia.
Welsh.
Oh, he's Welsh.
There you go.
In the PFA Scotland Championship team of the season.
Still getting for the level of questions. In fact, even more so.
You know, even angrier. That was supposed to calm him down. Oh, dear.
A glowing tribute from Mark Wilson to Alex Samuel at the weekend.
Got team of the year, didn't
Yeah, after getting to the team of the year, along with Ben Stanway and Ben McPherson.
Talking of team of the year.
Oh, Joe, I'm going to set you to a team of the year challenge. I'll reveal it in just a second. But just to finish off, since we've been talking to Stuart, whether it's 40s, what did I say? 47.2
for the Opta?
Yeah, that's what I said. For Rangers' chances, yeah, apparently, according to the Opta supercomputer. Back from Spain, warm weather training, team bonding. What now? Is that the hope that just gives you that little bit extra? They're not going to work on something brand new, are they? That suddenly revolutionises the way you play?
That's the thought when we used to go to Dubai.
And it
came
went
a game we kept backwards. of course, it's also the chance for players to recover, not only physically but mentally. Have more hands-on access with the guys that are injured. You've basically got them 24/7 to respect, and the chance for the players that are supposed to bond even closer. So Hearts have done the same, so they'll be hoping for the same type of benefits. But like we said, we're in a stage of the season where you're playing the other five best teams in the league. Such as the season this season, I really do think that 1-2-3 positions, I do think are going to fluctuate every single week from now to the end of the season. 1-2-3.
Take me back to Ted Rogers and Dusty Bin. Remember that?
No, I don't. What was that? What collection of words did you just say to Andy Halliday? Young men.
You're talking about Ant and Dec in this show. Ted Rogers and Dusty Bin were on a big Saturday night TV show on ITV called 3-2-1, and Ted Rogers did that with his hands at the start. please call in and save me here. He did. 3-2-1.
Oh, listen, I've no doubt that a lot of the listeners will remember.
Do
but
that again.
Me and Andy Halliday.
No, close.
3-2-1.
Apparently it was in the 1970s/80s. I'm sorry, that's before our time. Do you want to get away from the dusty bin and talk to me about the title race and Rangers being away?
Well,
and coming back,
they're just going to win and they're going to draw.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get the same chance. Yeah.
Theoretically, you think Rangers and Hearts would be in better. Like Celtic could have done without extra time last night. There's no doubt about it. They would like to have got the game done with a minimum of stress in 90 minutes. And at half time, in normal time, it looked as if they were going to see off St Mirren with a minimum of stress. But they made a mess of it in the second half. They were taken to extra time. Yes, they won, but I don't think Martin Neil would be that happy that they needed 120 minutes while Rangers and Hearts are away enjoying warm weather training in the sunshine.
Because, you know, we're looking for all these little kind of clues before, Andy, about Rangers were the ones scoring the goals. For all Celtic's issues that the callers brought up earlier, that is now, and I know they had longer to do it, which maybe skews things a bit, but it's certainly, well, it's the most goals they've scored in a long time. Is that skewed heavily by the fact that it wasn't within the 90 minutes, or does it still show that the shooting boots can be there?
It's skewed a little bit, but you still have to score the goals, and like he says, it's been a Celtic team that's been devoid of goals across the pitch. I mean, who even is Celtic's top goal scorer this season? Is it Dyson Maeda?
No, Negan.
Outside Negan, sorry. So I was looking at all the forward players up to a couple of weeks ago. I'm sure it was Kenny that was still the top goal scorer, or the forwards in the league. So they've lacked goals other than Benjamin Negan. And to see five different scorers at the weekend there. No, Tony Ralston getting his first goal of the season, Ian Atchell coming on scoring a couple, and obviously Luke McKibben off the bench. So it's certainly a positive for him.
Dusty bin. Thank you very much to Stuart and Bayliston. A victory over Andy Halliday, but they're not happy with the questions at all. Let's move on. I know who'll be happy. Jim, who's a Dunfermline fan. Jim, how good
Yay.
Was it?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you all?
Good, Jim. Good. Come on, talk us through it. How good was your weekend?
Well, I'll tell you, absolutely marvellous. You know, I was apprehensive before it, but us being a championship side. But even during the game, I was thinking, wait a minute here, we're a championship side playing a Premier side. We're doing really well here, you know. Now, we've never conceded a goal over the three ties, so I think it's an absolutely marvellous achievement, you know, even getting to the final against Celtic. I'm not saying we'll win, but we'll have a great day.
And you deserved it though, Jim, didn't you? I know it went to penalties and that can go either way, but if there was one team that had chances in what was a fairly low-key game, it was your team.
Yeah. We matched Falkirk for pace and we were snapping at their heels all the game, you know. We never gave them an inch. And an absolute stamina was phenomenal. Now, Lenny's got this mindset now, you're as good as any other team, you know. The old Jock Stein psychological thing, you know.
I spent my free time, a rare Saturday off, going to the game because it was that or the Garden Centre, and obviously you go to football. After 10 minutes, I was sort of questioning my choices. I thought maybe a wee look around the hydrangeas would have been better because it was a tough watch a wee bit. But then you see how good were Dunfermline and how much they really started to kind of, well, I don't know, as Jim says, overpower Falkirk a bit, and then everybody lost penalties at the end, and just a great story, wasn't it? Not for producer John, of course.
Yeah, it really wasn't. If you take the three games into consideration, as Jim is, they've been terrific. They haven't conceded a goal, and I just can't get away from the fact how many young players are through the team. You know, the lad Jeremiah Chilakoa-Mullen at the back, Scotland Under-21 international, was terrific. You know, Kieran Ngwenya, the other young centre-back, Robbie Fraser, who came from Rangers at wing-back, Matty Todd, the other wing-back, still a young man, Andy Todd, up top, a young man. So there's lots to like about that Dunfermline squad. Look at Lucas Fife, 17 years of age, came out, almost won it off the bench when he hit the bar in extra time. Neil Lennon's done a terrific job there. There might yet be a promotion shout. It looks as if there'll be a playoff with Arbroath in the quarterfinals, Mark Wilson's Thistle in the semi-finals, and then take your pick who in a final. It would be a monumental physical effort to get through and take Dunfermline up. But listen, they're still in the shake-up to do it, and the season they've had, you couldn't rule them out, Jim.
How sweet was it to beat Falkirk of all teams, Jim?
Well, see, actually, it's not our rivals, but that's not our local rival. We throw us this really, but it still doesn't make it any less sweet, you know. But I'll tell you, Dunfermline have had a terrible schedule. We've had to play Saturday, Tuesday for a couple, 2 or 3 weeks, you know. So it wasn't the best lead up to the game, you know. We were really struggling for players injury-wise.
It's funny that, because Neil Lennon rotated the team, Andy, and back to combine that with something Jim said earlier there about the kind of the pace and the power. That's something that really jumped out for me, because you've been the biggest advocate of how Falkirk are so mobile and so quick and so hard-working. But Dunfermline even matched that bit of it and then some.
Yeah, well, I gasped when Jim mentioned about how quick and strong and athletic they look, because that is exactly what I took away from Dunfermline at the weekend there. Back three in particular, and in particular Chalotwa Mullen, I thought were exceptional. I mean, three really fast centre-halves, especially playing at the level of the Scottish Championship, and I was really impressed with them throughout. And I mean, just take a moment for Neil Lennon. It's obviously, I know him slightly off the pitch and he's had a really tough time of it. I think he made such a massive difference to the mindset of Dunfermline in this cup run, because knowing the type of man he is, there's no doubt whatsoever that he knew he could come up with a game plan to beat Hibs, to beat Aberdeen, to beat Falkirk, and to do so in the manner that they did. I think over the course of the 120 minutes, I thought they had the better chances. I must admit, Jim, at the end of the game, I felt sick for the young lad, Lucas Fife. You know, he gets his opportunity during the week against Airdrie, scores his goal, the equaliser with 5 minutes ago. But what a chance to be a hero and remember that moment for many years to come, when that ball gets cut back to him and he smashes it off the underside of the bar. And I kept thinking to myself, I just did not want to see that young man step up and take a penalty, because if he had managed to miss one, then I certainly wouldn't have been brave enough to give him a howler the weekend on Monday. But delighted for him, delighted for the rest of the young squad that you've got, and thoroughly deserved to be in the final, I thought, as well.
And of course, Roger, because we've only had about 370 good stories this season, this campaign will end with Neil Lennon against Martin O'Neill in the Scottish Cup final.
Yeah, the Sorcerer against the Apprentice. Nice words from one to the other and back and forth. And I think that will continue until the 23rd of May. Their careers are sort of inextricably linked, if you like. He was one of Martin Neal's first signings in 2000 when Martin Neal came from Leicester, having done a wonderful job for him at Leicester. They won back-to-back League Cups down south more than 25 years ago. Neil Lennon truly valued what, sorry, Martin Neal truly valued what Neil Lennon brought to that midfield, both at Leicester and at Celtic. He has sort of been an inspiration to Neil Lennon, the manager, over the years. I was actually surprised they've never met each other, and I thought, how could they have met each other as managers? So it might be the last game of Martin Neal's managerial career, potentially. And to do it against his protege, Neil Lennon, at Hampden, it's just going to be a fantastic day.
Thank you very much to Jim. I'm going to set you to a challenge, right? Obviously, you get your teaser coming up. You know, we had Team of the Year last week, and the great debate about it. A truly mad debate, considering that it's just the players that vote for it. There's really nothing else to say. But there was a lot of angry people that there were so many Hearts and Motherwell players in it.
There's so many Motherwell players in it?
Yeah, just how
should have been cutting more.
How can a team that's fourth have so many? I don't know, players voted for it, and that's, they know their stuff, apparently. Anyway, I'm going to set you to a unique challenge. I want you to come up with your alternative Team of the Year this evening, okay? So you're going to need to pick 11 players, obviously, but you're only allowed one from each team. Now, there are 12 teams in the league, you may have noticed, so you can choose which club to leave out.
As a representative, okay?
But 11 players in your Team of the Year, but you're only allowed one from each team. I'll get you to do that, okay. And your teaser, and plenty more time. St Mirren fans, I keep asking, come on, let's hear from you next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Got a good question for you that you might like to get your teeth into.
The full-time teaser with Arkiplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Oh wow, good question this, and it's going to link into that wee challenge I set you. Just because it's a semi-quiet end to a Monday night where we haven't had as many league games at the weekend, I wanted your alternative Team of the Year, where you have to pick a team for me, but with only one representative from each club. And this loosely links to that. Kieran has sent a wonderful question in. prior to this season, who are the last nine players to be in a PFA Scotland Team of the Year who've never played for the Old Firm and they've played in the Scottish Cup at some point this season? God, they've linked everything that we're talking about at the moment. That is imaginative. And then some. The last nine players who were selected to a Team of the Year in Scotland, but they've never played for the Old Firm, and they've made an appearance in this year's Scottish Cup.
So does Craig Halkett's time at Livingston count?
Yes.
So Craig Halkett.
Craig Halkett, well done.
Is it including this year's team?
No, it doesn't, sorry, no. But there might be people in this year's who've been in it before.
Yeah.
Like Craig Halkett, as Andy says.
Stephen O'Donnell?
Nope. Oh, these are tricky. These are tricky.
They are tricky, but I like it a lot.
Because to be fair, right, as much as we love a Team of the Year debate when it comes around, it's not like you can just recall.
Lauren Shanklin?
Yes.
Oh my God.
So, he was in the Team of the Year two seasons ago. He has never played for the Old Firm and he's played in the Cup this season.
Mm-hmm. Martin Boyle?
Oh no. Right, I'll leave it with you. How does that sound? I'll leave it with you. Just out of curiosity, the challenge that we've set you this evening, a Team of the Year, but you can only pick one player from each club. You can leave a random club out if you want. What's your thinking here? You don't need to give me your foot if you've even got your full team. What sort of logic are you going down?
So I went who I feel like has been the best player for a club. Try to put him in, then kind of fit round it. I think it's worked pretty well.
But surely you've had to drop down to like the second, third, fourth, fifth best player at a club if you've already got a better player in that position from a different club.
Well, you know, the judge of that, I think I've got the best player in quite a lot of positions.
And it happens to fit into an 11.
Yeah.
I think one or two, maybe not, but for the most part.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if you agree.
We start, mate. What have you got at the back? Give me your goalkeeper and your back.
Well, this
four.
Is the one that I think's not the best player. Because I think Livingston's best player has been Lewis Smith.
Right.
But I've went for Jerome Prior. Because I actually still think, even though they are languishing at the bottom of the table, I think he's been one of the probably only two positives.
I've actually gone for Jerome Prior as well.
Copying each other's homework, right?
Yeah.
I see that logic, though, because if you put Callum Ward in, who is in the team of the year, you can't have any other Motherwell players. That would be crazy. Or Swallow at Hearts, right? Okay. Yeah. Back four.
I think the back four was quite easy for me, I thought.
Really?
I think I've went Philip Lissa, I think he's been the best right back in the league.
Okay. So that's your Falkirk shout done. So no gone, Barney no Shores or Brad Spencer.
I think Luke Graham, although they have had a few candidates, Dundee, I think he's arguably been Dundee's best player this season.
Right.
I've went Fernandez, who's the only Rangers player to get in Team of the Year.
Right.
And my left back's Will Ferry, who I think's had a really good season as well.
I mean, he's not been as good as Fata at Dundee United. But you've prioritised position.
I've gone three out of four. I agree with Philip Lissa. I agree with Luke Graham and I agree with Will Ferry. No Fernandez. I'm going for Alec Gogic of St Mirren as a centre half because I want my Rangers member of the team
elsewhere.
Is elsewhere.
Okay, I like it. I like that thought. Let's hear a bit from the St Mirren camp after yesterday. It was quite the afternoon. I don't think anyone could have foreseen the way it would play out 50 odd seconds in. The way the goal goes in, the goalkeeper had to be subbed, the 17-year-old comes on, and so on. Let's hear a bit from Craig McLeish, who was proud of his side's efforts and discussed that goalkeeping situation.
First of all, I'm so proud of the group with how they went about kind of large parts of the game today to lose a goal in the manner we did right at the start of the game, to then lose our goalkeeper early on in the game. I thought we reacted well to that. We settled after kind of the first 15-20 minutes or so, losing the goal in half times. An absolute hammer blow for us. We had to regroup at half time. I thought our second half performance was excellent. We made some changes towards the end of the game to get back into the game. We brought some more attacking players on the pitch. We changed shape. That allowed us to kind of take it to extra time, and we were hoping to kind of continue that momentum and ride that on into extra time. I think if the 90 minutes, if there's an extra 5-10 minutes, we were the team in the ascendancy at that point. But the risk to make those changes and get back into the game probably then catches out in extra time. So I think he said when he went to kick, I think he's caught the ground. He's kind of pulled his thigh muscle. So we need to assess him over the next few days and see how that looks.
At the incident for the goal?
I think so from what he said, but that was a kind of brief conversation. I'm not really sure. Grant comes in and I think that was his debut for us. I brought him to the club probably when he was maybe about 13. He's a fantastic young goalkeeper. We've got really high hopes for him. he didn't deserve that scoreline and end up the way he performed and dealt with a lot of things, because he looked nervy when he first came on, built himself into the game, made some good saves.
Quite an incredible situation, wasn't it, all round? Let's get the thoughts of Stuart, who is a St Mirren fan. Start with the goalkeeper, Stuart. What did you make of that?
Hi, thanks for taking my call, lads. Basically, I'm just following up to congratulate St Mirren for another fantastic season, for what you know, what they've got behind them. I think it's amazing. And yesterday, I'm all hearing all day and all day, yesterday was the game, the Celtic, you know, the amount of goals they scored. In fairness to the young lad, who was absolutely fantastic, he's probably thinking about getting ready for his bed by the time extra time came round. And all of us, if you analyse those goals, the boy wasn't near them. Would Jamal George have got to these goal, these shots? I'm pretty sure he would have got a lot closer. Not taking anything away from the young lad. He was fantastic. But St Mirren are just absolutely, they're worth everything they give us Paisley boys. And I'm really, you know, I'm just phoning up to say thanks to St Mirren for what a fantastic season. I don't see them much this season because of illness. I was at the semi and I was at the final, the League Cup, but I kind of gave up going to this one because every time St Mirren get near the Celtic goal in the final, the crowd stood up, and because I'm in crutches, I couldn't see it, so I just decided to watch it.
Watching the telly, quite right. I mean, must be such a strange. Let's start with the goalies, actually. You two, where did you even begin? Because that's quite a unique situation. Jamal George taken off injured at Celtic Park last week. Ryan Mullen comes on. Jamal George fit though to play until he gets injured in training during the week. Yeah. Mullen starts the game. Closed down by Dyson Maeda. Listen to his manager. Apparently gets injured in the process. Off he comes, and they have to put a 17-year-old on.
Yeah, Siobhan George was in yesterday in a moon boot. Didn't look great. I'm not too sure how bad the injury is. Ryan Mullen going off early again. Not sure how bad the injury is. I asked Craig McLeish whether he might need to look at an emergency loan because there's five games of the season left. St Mirren are far from safe in the Premiership, and it'd be a huge ask for Grant Damasavicius to go in and play those five games. And apart from anything else, who would be the backup goalkeeper to Damasavicius? So it'll be interesting to see if St Mirren try and go into the transfer market through this week to get somebody in. The young lad, listen, he is blameless for what happened. He'd only played three times for the B team in his career, Gordon. He had a great save from Dyson Maeda in the first half. He had a decent save from Benjamin Nigrin in the first half as well. He did himself no harm at all. I saw a tweet from Jamie Langfield, his goalie coach, last night, talking about working with a lad for the age of 12 or 13 and how proud he was and how his family should be proud of him as well. And that is absolutely correct. But it was, you know, in this mad season, and it's been a mad season for St Mirren as well, because they've won a League Cup. They're flirting with relegation after three successive top six finishes. They've lost their manager, Stephen Robinson, to Aberdeen. They've lost Jim Gillespie, an enormously important figure behind the scenes. They've lost him to Rangers. And now they've lost six in a Scottish Cup semi-final with a 17-year-old third-choice keeper in after the second-choice keeper lost a dreadful goal inside a minute. It's just crazy.
You feel for the young goalie having to come on in that circumstance, Andy, because I know there's, like, obviously every player kind of wants an opportunity and you've got to take it and rise to it and all these big bold things that we say, but you heard his head coach there saying he didn't deserve that. You know, there is too early to be thrown on, and particularly for a goalie, it's just so unforgiving.
Yeah, but I think it's a moment that Damasavicius will look back on in years to come and say how proud he is of himself, how lucky he was to get that opportunity. Because a lot of people, when you are a young boy and you're looking for that debut, a lot of it does come through luck or misfortune. I've spoke to so many players that have had similar scenario. Sorry, and his obviously was, with Jamal George getting injured on the Thursday, Ryan Mullen coming off after 15 minutes. But to echo what Roger says, I thought he handled his cell extremely well. I think you can look at all five goals that go in and you can look at the defending round about him, but I don't think he's certainly not at fault for any of the goals. And I think it's a brilliant opportunity he got to play in such a huge game, a huge occasion at Hampden, a full capacity. So listen, I think he should be proud of himself. I seen a brilliant clip on social media, his family,
yes,
congratulating after the game. I thought it was brilliant, and like I says, he'll be disappointed like any footballer when you've lost a game, but I think he'll look at it with immense pride and in years to come, because he'd done well.
We joked earlier about not trusting the supercomputer at Opta, Roger Hannah. we are guilty at times of not taking anything at face value in this country, and sometimes it's charming that we're so intense and so analytical about things, and other times it's a bit wide of the mark. It was interesting to see Alex Gogic tweeting today, saying, yeah, I've seen disgraceful tweets about Ryan Mullen. Ryan's a top keeper, give everything on and off the pitch. He didn't want to leave the pitch. Every player makes mistakes. I've made plenty, unfortunately, for Ryan. He wasn't able to play on despite persevering. He does not deserve negativity or accusations. It's disgusting. I'm so disappointed that the majority is from our own fans, a club we win together and lose together. It's interesting because it takes a lot nowadays for players to not have a pop at their own fans, but you know what I mean. Do what Alex Gogic has done.
I know exactly what you mean. There was online criticism, I think, last night of Ryan Mullen. It's harsh. Listen, you need to believe he's injured and he can't continue. No one's saying anything other than that. It would be a huge disappointment for St Mirren fans. They would go there full of hope. That hope was restored by the two goals with Mikael Mandron in the second half, and then it sort of goes from there. It's unfortunate for Ryan Mullen. When he is physically fit, he'll push again to get back in the team. I don't know whether there'll be any psychological baggage given the manner of the goal that he conceded to Daizen Maeda yesterday, the fact he was injured in the process, not just his pride injured as well, Gordon. But I think for Craig McLeish, he'll look to get either Shamal George back in, or I think more likely you might see an emergency loan coming in to St Mirren before the end of the week. If only there were goalkeepers, Andy, kicking about, who haven't really seen much first team action this season and could do with a game at the end of the season. You know, like Angus Gunn and Craig Gordon.
Mm-hmm. Liam Kelly.
I can't see Rangers letting them go, can you?
What did you make of that side of it? You just don't, like I said, it was quite strong words from Alex Gogic on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it.
Yeah, well, I must admit, I've not seen the comments that he's referring to, but he'll obviously be more inclined with his social media and having a lot of St Mirren inclined people on it. So yeah, it would be disappointing if, you know, people are suggesting that he's, what I'm guessing they're suggesting he's feigned an injury or whatever. So I think it's quite right for Alex Gogic, and I'm expecting probably other teammates as well to stand up for a teammate.
Thank you, Stuart. Any advance on those topics, keep them coming in. I was asking these two a wee challenge for them on their team of the year. We've got a proper teaser though as well. Who are the last 9 players to be in a team of the year? They've never played for the Old Firm and have played in this year's Scottish Cup. Now, it's before this season, so Shankland, because he was in the team of the year a few seasons ago, he ticks the boxes. Halkett, any others?
Simon Murray.
Nope.
Graham Shinney.
Yes.
Regan Charles Cook.
Yes.
Stevie May.
Yes. Okay, 4 to get, and we'll hear your alternative team of the years as well when we return. Let me tell you about this first.
Biggest music quiz for Cash for Kids Day.
Right, we're getting closer to this, so hopefully you have signed up for the world's biggest music quiz with Ant and Dec happening Thursday the 30th of April from 1 p.m. But because it's Cash for Kids Day, we're launching our own quiz night. It's the night before. You can come along and take part in that one. So Glasgow's Big Bad Music Quiz is taking place at Bad Wednesday the 29th, 6:30 p.m. Barra's Art and Design Centre there. Thanks to our sponsors, Cairnhill Structures, George and Cassie on hosting duties, brilliant prizes, and most importantly, every ticket sold helps support Cash for Kids. So get a team together. You can go to Clyde1.com. We'll see you Wednesday the 29th of April for Glasgow's Big Bad Music Quiz.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Before we go back to speaking to Andy and Roger, just a quick welcome to our new podcast sponsor, White Mackay, triple matured whiskey crafted on the Clyde and Lake Super Scoreboard, although from Glasgow, celebrated globally. A bit like Hugh Keevan, so like from here, but a worldwide superstar, that sort of thing. So if you ever miss the show, catch up on the Rayo app or wherever you get your podcasts. That is the Clyde One Super Scoreboard podcast, proudly sponsored by White Mackay, triple matured whiskey. Visit whitemackay.com and always drink responsibly, please. Right, how are you two faring on your teaser first of all. Who are, before this season, the last 9 players who've made a team of the year in Scotland, but they've never played for the Old Firm, and they have played in this season's Scottish Cup at some point? Lauren Shankland, 2 seasons ago, team of the year, never played for the Old Firm, has played in the Cup for Hearts. You've got him. Regan Charles Cook, back at Ross County, he's now at Motherwell and so on. Craig Halkett's now at Hearts, but he was at Livy. Graham Shinney was in the team of the year for Aberdeen and Inverness and so on, played in the Cup for Aberdeen. You've got Stevie May, which is a great shout. Any others? Tricky ones now. You need to think down the leagues a bit.
Chris Maguire.
No.
What about Billy Mackay?
No, but you're on the sort of right track.
Dylan Gallagher?
No.
When I thought earlier on, Mark Reynolds.
Yes, Mark Reynolds. So way back, he was in the team of the year when he was at Aberdeen, and he played for who this season in the cup?
Cove,
but then retired, didn't he?
Retired. A similar thing, Fraser Fivey.
No, but again, you're not far off at all. You're about as close as you could be without being right.
It's Cove.
Well, it's Aberdeen. It's that kind of thing.
Oh, Pollitt.
Peter Pollitt. Peter well Pollitt. Done. Two to get. All I'll say to you is you're going way back to the 2011-12 season for your team of the year here. So who? Clearly experienced players.
Sean Dillon?
No.
Who am I missing?
Right club though.
Keith Watson? 56. Trying to think who on earth in that team is still playing this season. Oh, Johnny Russell.
Johnny Russell, of course.
Of course, he's back and playing, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And one last one, I'll get back to it. Right, okay. Your alternative team of the year, you two.
Yes. Do you want midfield?
Set you a challenge. So your challenge was to come up with a different team of the year. So 11 players still, but only one representative from each club. That means a club will be kicked out, which is fine, omitted. You gave me your goalkeepers. You both went for Jerome Prior in goal, so you used up your Livy selection. Go on, give us your midfield, both of you.
Well, my back four was Lisa, Luke Graham, Alec Gogges and Will Ferry.
So that's Falkirk, Dundee, St Mirren and Dundee United.
So my midfield four, I've gone 4-4-2. Benjamin Negrin was my Celtic player.
So Celtic are done.
Elijah Just is my Motherwell player.
Okay.
Jamie McGrath of Hibernian. And remember Andy went Manny Fernandez. I'm throwing in Mikey Moore as my Rangers player.
Nice, I see you're thinking. You two are making quite easy work of this, Andy.
So I've got a midfield three of Benjamin Negrin, my Celtic pick. Killian Phillips is my St Mirren pick.
Oh, okay.
And Jamie McGrath also is my Hibs pick.
Which leaves which three clubs for you?
Well, I have omitted Aberdeen.
So Aberdeen even in a team of the year where you need to pick someone from each team, you've still not bothered with Aberdeen.
If I had to pick 12, I don't know if I'd put an Aberdeen player on my bench. So I've went Elijah Just from Motherwell. John Jules is my striker for Kilmarnock. Okay. And Claudio Braga from Hearts.
My Kelly player up top is also Tyrese John Jules. And it was a toss of a coin between the two Jumbo strikers, but actually I agree with you, I went for Braga ahead of Shankland.
Good minds, there we go. Just a bit of fun for your Monday evening. I'm looking forward to more debates like this, because the actual player of the year debate will surely pick up pace in the coming days and weeks, because the awards are not too far away. Sunday the 3rd of May, I think the shortlist will be announced maybe next week, so we could have a debate about that as this week progresses. Anything else you need to get off your chest before we end? What's this week looking like? Just full steam ahead to the return of the top flight.
St Johnstone could be a premiership.
That's true, yep.
Team again by tomorrow night. Thistle let it slip. Ross County beat Ayr, but Ayr are now safe. Queen's Park are now safe. It's down to three at the bottom of that championship. And don't overlook it, because Morton are third bottom. Morton's last two games are against Ross County and Airdrie, the two teams beneath them. So it's in Morton's own hands to secure their championship safety. If not, Airdrie at home to Ayr, Ross County at home to Morton, they will still believe.
Okay, let's finish with your teaser then, shall we? So we were looking for, you're almost there, we had it not too long ago. Before this season, the last nine players have been in a team of the year, but they've never played for the Old Firm, but they have played in this season's Scottish Cup. Lauren Shankland, Regan Charles Cook, Craig Halkett, Graham Shinney, we're going back, Stevie May, Peter Pollitt, Mark Reynolds, you've done so well on this. Johnny Russell, there is one more. He was in the 2010-11 Team of the Year. He's never played for the Old Firm, and he is still kicking a ball, as they say.
Craig Sibbald?
No. 2010-11.
Brian Easton?
No. Is he still playing?
Yeah, he's five.
So he is.
10-11's not
helping. We're going Ryan McGowan.
Nope. The club you need currently, Alloa.
Connor Salmon.
There we go.
I've written it down and I haven't shouted it out.
That's your fault, I'm afraid. Thank you, Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna. The biggest thanks, as always, by a mile, to be honest, goes to you for calling and for listening. Don't forget to catch up. If you missed the show, you can get the podcast, you can watch the live stream back, and we will speak to you at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.